Mika Zibanejad is a forward for the New York Rangers. On April 18th, he turns 31 years old. This season, he has 26 goals and 69 points for the league-leading Rangers, and has 524 points in 564 games for them over 8 years. Mika Zibanejad was killed on Tuesday by Islanders defenseman Adam Pellick, which is the story that Rangers coach Peter Laviolette wants you to believe, that people have been talking about. We're going to discuss it here. Mike, this has been going on all day. Words have been said on TV, on Twitter, everywhere. I'm sure group chats across the tri-state area have been lighting up, and we want to have our say too. And so where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the Pellick Zibanejad incident? Do we want to start with the game itself? Do we want to start with Laviolette's comments? Where do we want to start? You this was your idea. You gave us the great idea for the title too. So where do you want us to begin this discussion of this one stupid game in this rivalry's history?
Yeah, I think I want to start with the comments from Peter Laviolette and work our way backwards.
Okay, perfect. So I clipped this. So let me put this in now so everybody can know what we're talking about. He's kind of muffled a little bit, and he does a little bit of acting here too, where he's very angry, and so he has to collect his thoughts. That's the gap that you hear right at the beginning. He's looking at the sky thinking, what can I say? How do I control my anger here before I hulk out and bust up this locker room? So that's the gap there, but just give it a second. The whole clip is about a minute long, so let me play that here.
To start, have you heard anything about Mika's status? Just how he's doing?
He came back at the end from that vicious hit. Yeah, he came back. That vicious shoulder elbow to the head. Watch it.
So you think it was intentional that it wasn't a collision?
I do.
What about the Dobson hit?
Vicious from behind. Both.
What did you think of your team's response tonight in the second and third period?
I think we owned the game. The puck was on our stick the entire second and third period, and it was hard out there tonight having to get through all of that you're talking about. It was hard, but our guys kept fighting and battling until the end.
You seem to be as angry, as emotional immediately after a game as you've been all year.
Games are important right now. They mean a lot. And our guys are battling hard out there. So, yeah.
Okay, so what is it about this clip that drives you the craziest? Is it the acting that we talked about before? Is it that he labeled that hit and Noah Dobson's hit that we'll talk about in a little bit both vicious? What was it about that about this? Was it the whole thing? What was it that drive you the craziest?
I got to be honest. I'm very happy he did this. I'm very happy. I'm not even kidding. Like this was the type of thing. Like we know that this the way that the Rangers kind of operate is that they wait for the hockey gods to intervene and to give them a break.
Yeah.
And then when they take, and to their credit, they are a very good team at when you give them an inch, they take a mile.
Sure.
They're clinical and talented and all that. But think when you are handed more power plays. I looked it up yesterday. The Rangers get 3.3 more minutes of power play time per 60 minutes than the Islanders this season.
Wow.
3.3. And they should probably, with the way they play, get more. So, but I think maybe 1.5 more power plays a game is
right.
Pretty drastic.
Significant, for sure.
Yes. So when you get handed these things and yet ask for more, that's when you start to, I think the hockey gods start to piss you off. And right. it felt very Bruce Cassidy-ian from the New York Saints fiasco, which if Bruce Cassidy saw this, and I hope, I know that, you know, from people I talked to, is the people in the NHL were like, I can't believe that Laviolette about the Adam Pellick hit. Because look, if he had just left it at the Noah Dobson thing,
right?
Like, yeah, he's right. Like that was a pretty brutal hit, but one that I think is a good gamesmanship on Dobson's part. Mm-hmm. You know, you crush the guy with 12 seconds left. It happened to be Vinny Trocheck. I think if that player was Artemi Panarin, or like Adam Fox behind the net. I think that maybe that call gets made, but I don't really think Trocheck endears himself to anybody in the league.
Well, certainly not after that hit.
Yes, exactly. We know why, right?
Right.
Love that nobody's really talking about that. Like, you're watching this guy scream in this ref's face, and it looked like Kelly Sutherland was goading him to punch him. So if you get handed all these situations, kind of, you know, these breaks, and then you don't get one in a season where you're the President's Trophy favorite in a meaningless game, and you make that much of a big deal about it, I think, and we know that the Rangers are not a team that karma comes back for that often, but I think that might have been a maybe 1 yard too far from Laviolette, and we needed something like this, honestly. Like, I think it made me feel so much better about the entire Ranger situation in general, because he, all the goodwill that the Rangers have built up with people, of course, not Islander fans, but and like rival teams, but in other parts of the NHL, who, oh, the NHL is just so much better when the Rangers are good, right? Friedge, you know, those kind of people. All that goodwill kind of snuck out the window when he did that. And it was so, so petty and so meaningless and so needless that I was like, wow, they just like looked a gift horse right in the mouth. This is great. So I was thrilled.
that all occurred to me too. This is a team that has not faced really any adversity all season long. Yeah, they went through a bit of a slump there, I guess, in January, but I mean, so did everybody else. They never get a penalty called against them. Their entire offense is predicated on scoring power play goals. And as you pointed out, they get a lot of power plays, right? They're always kind of gifted these power plays. And for once, things didn't go their way and they didn't like it. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but should the Islanders qualify for the playoffs and end up facing either the Rangers or the Hurricanes, it's basically going to be them versus the Rangers or the Hurricanes plus the refs. Because as we've talked about, when it comes to the Hurricanes, Rod Brind'Amour has that entire fan base and that team coached to absolutely make their home arena a hellhole for referees. And so between those two groups, it's not going to be pleasant. But let's keep it here. So Laviolette, obviously very, very angry after these two hits. The first one was the Islanders won the game 4-2, by the way. I forgot to mention that earlier. But the first one was by Adam Pellick, colliding with Mika Zibanejad earlier in the third period. If you watch the tape as Laviolette, so when Laviolette watches the tape, he sees Adam Pellick sticking his elbow out and clocking Zibanejad in the coconut, right? Any other normal person watches that tape, and sometimes, you know, in some cases, even abnormal people, because even Paul Bissonnette has watched this tape and determined that there's nothing here. But it looks more like Zibanejad skated into Pellick, expecting Pellick to get knocked down. He didn't. He fell down, and he got hurt, maybe. He did come back on the bench, as Laviolette said. Pellick was looking the other way. He didn't even see Zibanejad from, you know, maybe out of the corner of his eye. He didn't really see him and kind of stumbled a little bit, but that was it. In fact, he even turned and he called for the trainers and to come over and look at Zibanejad. But of course, the Rangers don't see it this way. And I want to read a thing here from our good friend Larry Brooks, who's writing for the New York Post, in the second paragraph of his column here after the game, wrote, "The Rangers seem to have avoided catastrophe on the island Tuesday night, with Mika Zibanejad apparently having escaped a concussion after going splat face first down on the ice, where he remained in a prone position for a scary minute after a mid-ice collision with Adam Pellick at 8:51 of the third period. That was either accidental or disguised to look that way." Larry. I've defended Larry Brooks a lot on this show. I do think that he, you know, has no hatred towards the Islanders, but Adam Pellick on some nights this season, and we love Adam Pellick too, there are some nights where Adam Pellick looks like he's forgotten how to play hockey. Do we seriously think that Adam Pellick is the best actor in the NHL, where he can not look at Mika Zibanejad, have Zibanejad run into him, fall down on the ice and stay there for a minute, and then feign, you know, concern and call the trainers over to look at the guy? Like, what is he, Paul Giamatti? Like, is he trying to win an Oscar here? Like, I don't understand. What is he trying to do? What? I was either accidental or disguised to look that way. Larry, I got to tell you, Adam Pellick's not that good at this sort of thing.
Like, Laviolette did a better acting job in his press conference when he pretended to, he was mad about this, you know, like, I don't know. This is where it kind of goes off the rail. We start to see it kind of go off the rails here. You actually sent this to me this morning.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So I was there, and we'll talk about the experience in a bit, but nobody in the building knew what happened, because it looked like one of those scary situations in sports when someone kind of just collapses on the field. And that's what I thought. I was like, oh my God. Like, did
what happened?
Right. That, and you could tell it was the manager right away because of his hair. It's like, did he just, you know, collapse or whatever? Because the puck was not near him and anything. They didn't show a replay, which was, you know, whatever. And then when you started to see I started to look on Twitter, and everyone who I spoke to just said, yeah, he skated into Pelech, incidental contact, all this stuff. Nobody on the broadcast was saying it was dirty or anything.
Right.
Until Laviolette, of course. And then, yeah, it's not just Larry Brooks, but like I can't remember the guy's name, Vince something. He writes for the USA Today, said it was like a controversial hit. No, there's a difference between a controversial hit and a coach calling a hit controversial, right? Right. And then, yeah, then Brooks doing this. And you know what? All I got to say to Larry is this hit was a complete nothing play.
Yeah,
I guess that's what I'm saying, Brooksy. Get the fuck out of here, then. It couldn't have been less of a deal to anyone. And
right,
I was so happy that I love Patrick Roy. Like I love the guy. He's just the best, right? After Laviolette does his little thing. And by the way, we should also mention, and it's not lost on anybody here, and it's been pointed out by millions of people, it seems like, on Twitter, like, this is really rich coming from the team that has to defend Jacob Trouba.
Thank you.
elbowing people in the mush every other week. And then the Matt Rempe thing. We just celebrated the Rangers for being the Broadway bullies, line brawl against the Devils. Matt Rempe did a media tour. Like, the entire NHL and the media has worked so hard to make the game safer for players, and there's a concerted effort to kind of downplay lionizing enforcers and fighters and stuff. But Matt Rempe, because he plays for the Rangers, comes into the mix, and all of a sudden it's okay for them, because they do have their own set of rules. I don't care. I think it's pretty black and white. Like, I know we're Islander fans here. This is an Islander fan podcast, so we're going to look at it through that lens. But I think you can make a pretty clear case that the Rangers and Hedges, they operate under a different set of rules from everyone. It's just a completely different organization. They get to, you know, players want to play for them. Players will, you know, the Adam Fox situation, Artemi Panarin, et cetera. Like, things are just going to break their way. And that's just part of our lot in life. But
Rangers, Leafs, Penguins. Those are the three that they don't and Vegas. They don't operate under the same rules that the rest of the NHL does, period.
And so to have a team that when you operate under that pretense that, like, you just like you said, you expect everything to break your way. So it's incredible. It's incredibly rich to watch this franchise and this coach, after all of that, be like, you know, look at that play. Once again, had he just left it at Dobson, we're not even sitting here talking about this. We're talking about a pretty terrible third period from the Islanders, and being like, damn, like, this, they need to play better than that if they want to have a chance to make the playoffs and win a round. But instead, like, this is why I'm so happy he did this. We're getting to talk about this. The narrative has changed completely, and Patrick Roy endears himself further to a fan base where you're running out of room for him to endear himself further, because he just is so endeared. You know, you keep, the ceiling is just gets raised a little bit, and had some great quotes in where he pretended not to misunderstand Arthur Staple asking, you know, Peter Laviolette said it was incidental. He goes, accidental. And he's like, no, he said it was, or he said it was on purpose.
Well, look, I have the clip. So let me play the clip right here. And the first voice you'll hear asking the question is Arthur Staple. And then the second voice you'll hear, I clipped out a couple of questions in the middle, is Andrew Gross. And that's the part that really got circulated. So let me play that clip right here. Ironically, about the same length as the Laviolette clip. So let me stick that in right here.
Patrick, Peter Laviolette just said that he felt the collision between Pelech and Zibanejad was an intentional.
Accidental, you're right.
But he said intentional by Pelech.
No, it was accidental. The referee was in a really good position to see it. He saw it. There is, I was more afraid that Pelly might get hurt on that one. I mean, he's the one that hit Pelly. I mean, it was the opposite, I think, that what happened. I mean, the same thing happened in Pittsburgh with the referee. So, I mean, it was totally accidental. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, and I think Kelly was in a really good position to see everything, and he made it clear right away that it was accidental. So, but sometimes frustration make you say things.
Regardless of, you know, fault, no fault on the Pelic hit.
I don't know why we're talking about this, quite honestly. Well, I'm just a little surprised, because it was clear in my mind that it was accidental. So I mean, we could talk about it for an hour if you want to, but I think we're wasting our time. It was accidental. That's it. That's all. Next question.
So, yeah. So, like you said, why, you know, endearingly, the accent doesn't hurt, obviously. No,
the accent
is
the best part of it. First, why are we still talking about this?
I don't understand why we're still talking about this. We can talk about this for an hour, but to me, there's nothing there. Next question. So that was like the coldest next question I've heard. We don't hear a lot of next questions on the island, but that was pretty cold. I hope he and Andrew hugged it out afterwards. But yeah, no, it was funny. And I like that. I'm glad that Laviolette went first. You know, his whole thing was just in the hallway for a minute. And then Waz got this whole kind of setup and they ask him about it. And Wog, his whole thing was like 8 minutes long. And he gave a lot of really, you know, as he was wont to do, gave a lot of really in-depth answers to a lot of questions. And then this came up and he was just like, I don't understand what we're even talking about. So this was, like you said, endearing. It was funny in a way, although not really funny. And it just made the whole thing seem really, really silly, for lack of a better word. Like, I'm with you. Like, it seems like outside of Rangers fans, and don't worry, I got something planned for them in a little bit, but outside of Rangers fans who are hopping mad about this, it seems like everybody else in the hockey world is like, I don't, what is he talking about? Like, right. he talked about a shoulder elbow.
Shoulder elbow.
What is that? What is he? Who's, is he like a mutant? Like, I don't understand. Like, what he's got extra shoulders and elbows here? Like, I don't understand. I mean,
you know what that told me? Well, he didn't see it.
Yeah.
He had no idea, because he was like, I know it was the shoulder or the elbow. Like, he didn't see it.
Yeah. But he did use the word vicious twice and called again Dobson's hit.
And he said it was from behind. It was great.
Well, maybe that was Dobson's.
Yeah, he was getting the Dobson hit mixed up with the Pelican. Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Dobson thing now, because we keep dancing around it. Yeah. So with 16 seconds left in the game,
I'm going to be prouder of him.
The Islanders are looking to you know, keep the Rangers off the score sheet and get an empty net goal. And Vinny Trocheck goes behind the Islanders' net to get puck, and he gets basically crushed by Noah Dobson. Now, when I say crushed, Noah seemed to kind of push him into the boards a little bit. Yeah. I don't think he really hit him with his body.
No.
Regardless, this is a penalty, and frankly, should have been called a penalty. And before anybody's like, well, these guys are Islanders fans, you look at everything blue and orange glasses. We're here to tell you that should have been a penalty, okay? But it wasn't. And this was a poorly refereed game for the entire time. That doesn't excuse the way the Islanders played, which I'll get to in a little bit too. But that was the hit from behind that Laviolette talked about. And frankly, that should have been called a penalty. But it wasn't. There were 16 seconds left. Anders Lee scores the empty net goal to seal it and give the Islanders a 4-2 win. And Trocheck and Alexei Lafreniere go absolutely batshit. They just start yelling and screaming at the ref. They both got tossed out with, you know, whatever it was, 5 seconds to go or whatever. And that was the other hit that Laviolette said was vicious from behind. Vicious. Both of them. I don't think Noah Dobson has a vicious bone in his body, first of all. Adam Pellick, for that matter, too. But, like, that is a different kind of issue. Like, that's a referee didn't call a penalty issue. They were terrible all night. They didn't call, you know, they could have called Zibanejad for slew footing the skates at the stakes guys, called it clotheslining. He did something to Kyle Palmieri to take him down in the first period. Nobody called anything. There was a bunch of other stuff that got let go too. So, you know, Dobson should have been called. And if I was a team that lived and died on the power play, I'd probably want an extra penalty too, like you just said. But it wasn't. And there was like 10 seconds left in the game. So, I mean, well, what are we talking about here? So, I don't know. That one is a different kind of issue. But at the same time, like you said, the Rangers are a very entitled group of people. They want what they want because they always get what they want. And they didn't like it. And so they're going to be mad about it for four days now.
It's, the Dobson, first of all, like, and I hate to say it, but the player that we drafted before Victor Hedman was kind of a master at this kind of play. Not the specific boarding, but when you'd watch him play, like in a 3-on-3, if there's like 8 seconds left in the 3-on-3, he would just like bear hug people. Or, and he would, because he knew, you know, right. for all that guy's, you know, warts as a, as in terms of ethical standards, he was a pretty smart hockey player. And he knew that with 8 seconds left, what's the, you know, what's worse here? Like not being physical and letting this guy get the puck to the front of the net because you were afraid to take a penalty that wasn't going to hurt you because there's 6 seconds left, or, you know, just doing it and cheating a little bit. And he would do it. And I was really happy. I want to see this more often from the Islanders. Like he crushed, or he didn't crush Trocheck, but he crunched him from behind. It was a penalty. Kelly Sutherland looked at it, didn't call it. 2 seconds later, Chris Kreider cross checks Alex Romanov in the head.
Yeah.
That's not getting talked about, which is fine. And everyone, you know, it all kind of hell breaks loose for a second. Lee scores. Game over. I walk out of the building. I'm not expecting to hear much, like, at all about this. And I get home and, like, this is, I'm listening to the radio broadcast. And that's where everything started to, like, the dots started to connect for me that LaViolette was doing this tantrum thing. Like you said, the act job was terrible, but it is so funny to me to watch them make the story of this game about not getting a power play. It is so rich for this team that has to shed. There was an article on ESPN written yesterday about how this team kind of has to shed that that quality almost of like that they have to prove themselves to be more than just a team that lives on the and dies on the power play. And they score 2 power play goals in this game. And like you said, it was poorly reffed. I thought the first call on Riley was bad, but it was inevitable, right? Like the Islanders were up 3-0 on the Rangers. It was pretty clear that the refs were not going to call another penalty on the Rangers. They were the slew foot, if you want to call it that. They had too many men on the ice at one point. I think it was Eric Gustafson or Barclay Goodrow was just holding Simon Holmstrom's stick.
Yes, I remember that.
Like right in front of them. And he's like trying to yank it from him, and they're just holding on to it. Don't get a call there. And you're like, okay, so like we get it here. The Islanders are beating the Rangers too badly. The refs know the drill here. They're going to even it up. Then the first call on Riley was bad. And the problem with that is that if you make that call, you're not going to call the stone cold penalties that are eventually going to come. Like the Islanders are going to take penalties in this game.
Right.
And so rather than just waiting for the legitimate ones, like you have to force the issue on the first one. Of course, you know, the Rangers score and then the Islanders take another penalty. Bortuzzo trips someone. It was a penalty and they scored on that one maybe. And then, oh no, they killed that one off. And then there was that weird play where Varlamov's stick broke. The Islanders kind of didn't know how to handle the situation. Dobson puts one 6 rows deep. And of course, the Rangers score on that one, too. Like, you don't need to call the first one because the other ones are going to come. So you don't need to fabricate penalties with this team. Like, they're going to come. And the Rangers are, of course, going to do it. At that point on, I mean, it's just brutal to be in that building. Right, like the Rangers scored 2 power play goals. You know that this game is basically 5-3. They hadn't even got their customary 5-on-3 yet,
right?
And they had scored 2 power play goals, and so to have this team then make the story about a missed call at the end of a game with 15 seconds left, you're going to make that the story. Like, what was going to happen? He calls it. Okay, the Islanders don't score the empty net goal. You take a face off, you get a couple good looks. Hey, you might score on it because we're the Islanders and you're the Rangers and that shit happens, whatever. But it's like a 2% chance, if that. But that becomes the story. And they look like such babies. And that was I think what came out of this game was like, oh, yeah, like, no, this Rangers team is just a bunch of, you know, they're prima donnas kind of like they are spoiled. They're the most spoiled team in hockey, I guess, and is a good way to put it. But, I was not expecting that coming out because when I left the arena with my brother, both of us, we were just so relieved. We realized at one point in that third period that neither one of us knew if we were breathing. Like you just breathing. You're holding your breath the whole time because the Rangers had the puck in the zone. And my brother's like, I don't think I've taken a breath. Like, and I'm like, yeah, like it's been brutal. So I thought that this whole game was going to be boiled down to, you know, one of your classic lines, a feel bad win. but with one little hissy fit, like, Peter Laviolette changes everything for me. And he took that weight, like this dread off of my shoulders, and made this game something completely different. And now, of course, we're getting all the just wait till Saturday when Rempe's in lineup. Please do it. Like, I will say this, like, the Islanders need to win against the Montreal Canadiens on Thursday. If they do that, I'm actually going to be excited for the game on Saturday. If they don't, completely different story. But should they win, I'm going to be excited, because I think that this could actually just, the Rangers could just go haywire here. It'll be great.
Well, listen, that's a lot. And there's a couple of things I want to touch upon. One, first of all, I, as much as I enjoyed watching the video of Peter Laviolette throwing that tantrum, to me, this was still a feel bad win. I did not watch the third period of this game. I turned it off 6 minutes in because my wife was back from picking up our daughter. And I was like, I know the way this game is going to go. I don't want to watch the rest of this. Let's watch Vanderpump Rules. And so we did. We watched Vanderpump Rules. It was actually very relaxing to me. When you watch a bunch of people who hate each other yelling at each other and it relaxes you, you know that what you were watching before is really, really, you know, aggravating. And so I found that very relaxing. Checked later, found that they had won the game, went back and found out everything else. This was actually just right after. They ended about the same time. And I was just mad. I was even mad this morning about how they played that game. They had a fantastic first period. They ran the Rangers out of the building in the first period. And then they just stopped. They just stopped playing. And I couldn't... The thing that made me the most mad was not that they stopped playing in the second period, which we've seen them do before. Was not that they gave up two power play goals and took three penalties in a span of, what was it, 5 minutes or whatever it was. Not that they just played sloppy and stupid, but it was after the second period, and Shannon Hogan and Thomas Hickey are doing it. Now, we love Shannon, and we love Hickey. Hickey, who, by the way, we talked about him being a great broadcaster when he was still playing for the Islanders, so, you know, pains me to say this. When he, actually, she was, what am I talking about? She was talking to Matt Molson, another guy I love, and she's like, yeah, you know, not the period we expected to see out of the Islanders right there. Shannon, with all due respect, are you fucking kidding me? Have you watched this team play for 78 games this year? That was the exact period we all expected them to play. They've done it 78 times. What are you talking about? They always do that. They've been terrible, especially in second periods. And then I thought to myself, all right, well, listen, maybe that was just a bad period. They'll come out in the third and they'll play better. No, it was the same garbage. And then they were outshot 13-4. And I find out later that Cal Clutterbuck, before the period started, had a players-only meeting at the bench to say, we need to buckle down and get right here, you know, get this win. Then they were outshot 13-4 after that meeting. What did he say in the meeting? I don't understand. What the hell? What the hell kind of pep talk is that? You get outshot 13-4? Like, okay, you won, but to me, this is still a feel-bad win. The fact that the Rangers freaked out about it is just kind of icing on the cake, but... To me, it still bothers me. Igor Shesterkin did not look good in the first period. And then he did. I had no work to do after that. Yeah. Like, what do you do? If not for the superhuman efforts of Semyon Varlamov, now two games in a row, they would have lost this game 5-3, like you said.
Yep. And the one thing I will say is I think what ended up happening here, because the Islanders weren't bad in the beginning of the second at all, but this is what, you know, that reeks of irony here.
Yeah.
It became a ref show. In the second period. Yeah. That's what changed this entire game in the Rangers' favor. Like, they made that call on Mike Riley, and this is a little bit drastic of a comparison, because when the Islanders played game 6 against Carolina and they started the game well, we're talking about like 2.5 minutes of a good start before like Zach Parise got called for a bad penalty, and then the 5-on-3 call that completely changed that game. But it felt a little bit like that. Like, this is a team that's going in the right direction. They're getting pucks deep. They're putting pressure on the Rangers. They're building off the momentum they carried from the first period into the second. And a bad call that was, like I said, not a penalty, but inevitably going to be called because it just, they needed to get a penalty on the Islanders against the Rangers.
And it derails the whole thing.
Changes the entire complexion of the game, because this isn't just a normal, 22% power play against a normal 81% penalty kill. This is the worst penalty kill in the league against the second best power play in the league. And one of the best power plays in the league, probably them and Tampa have been the two best power play teams for 4 or 5 years now. And so it's not a normal situation. This is literally what the Rangers have been doing. Like, that game was just, the Rangers came out and they're like, yeah, we don't really need to work hard. We're just going to wait to get a break.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And they got the break, and then they took advantage of it once again, to their credit. And That's why I was like I don't blame them as much for the second period going haywire. The third period is a different story. Like they really, that was a torture period to watch. And there were so many whistles in the first 10 minutes. Yeah. It was like they were trying to kill the game off in 20-second increments. I'm like, what the hell are they doing? And there was one play, actually, that I thought really started to push the momentum back in the other direction, which was Kyle MacLean beat out an icing late in the third. I think the next phase of play ended up with Matt Martin drawing a penalty. So that like relieved the pressure a little bit. But that's what I think is so funny here. It's like the more you think about what Laviolette was doing, the funnier it becomes, because it was, first of all, as incidental as incidental gets.
Right.
As like you said, Pelech right afterwards like puts his hand up, is like, this might be a problem. Like he's trying to like
right
wave over to people, right? Like it's as incidental gets, and Laviolette decides in a game where the Rangers probably got the better whistle, the Rangers were welcomed back into the game because of the refs, decides to go, right, to say that. And I'm like, thank you for doing this and taking some of the heat off of my like inner psyche here to now I can focus it on you and think about how amazing that this is, that you don't understand, like, we're all trying to find out the guy who's doing this situation. You know, it's the that's one of these situations here. Like,
right.
No, we you guys are getting the breaks. You're getting mad because you didn't get one that wasn't supposed, like there was no gray. There's no gray area here. Everything right. that's in the gray area tilts in your direction. This one wasn't in the gray area. So you just got to live with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a wild situation.
Yeah.
And like I said, I thought everybody on the Islanders in this saga played the part perfectly, and everyone in the Rangers played their part perfectly, and it became a really good microcosm for why these two teams are where they are in the hockey universe. It's like, yeah, no, we understand, like, you're the team that gets the breaks. No one's arguing that. Like, we've put our hands up. We've tapped uncle that you guys are going to catch all these breaks forever.
Mm.
But when you push it too far, we're gonna push back a little bit here, and the entire hockey world recognizing that was pretty great. I'm really excited. Hopefully I get to be excited for Saturday, but big work to do before that.
And now a word from our sponsors. First is VintageIceHockey.com, where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, jerseys, mugs, and more, featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. Vintage Ice Hockey also carries our Al Arbor and the Island merch, and our portion of the sales always go directly to the Center for Dementia Research. Use the code ANXIETY20 to save 20% off an order of 2 items. That is VintageIceHockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. They offer a rosé, a Pinot Grigio, and a Pinot Noir that was named a 2022 Top 100 Best Buy by Wine Enthusiast magazine. All are delicious, priced at less than $15 a bottle, and available at local wine shops and at UBS Arena. Learn more at thepinotproject.com. Please drink responsibly.
Yes, Saturday is obviously the rematch, 12:30 at the Garden. Obviously, the game against the Canadiens is sandwiched in the middle there. And yeah, I saw the same stuff you did. Well, you know, Rempe will be in the lineup and he'll take care of all this. Okay. So you're going to put the resident mutant on the ice. He's going to fight somebody in the first 5 minutes of the game. Maybe it'll be Pelech. Maybe it'll be Martin. Maybe it'll be somebody else. They'll both sit for 5 minutes and then that's it. Like, that's all that happens. Like, nothing else. I don't know how many times we have to do this dance of like, oh, they're gonna, you know, you know what you're now. Now you've done it. Now we're gonna start talking. How many times did we send, you know, Ross Johnston out there against the Caps or the Penguins or the Rangers, and then he fights, and then that's it, and then the game starts. Like I don't understand these people. It's really like you said, everybody's playing their part perfectly. And I was thinking about something. There's a very famous, so Rangers fans, by the way, I just got to say, and I have a lot of friends on Twitter. They're lovely people. And I want to hang out with them. We had a great time hanging out with some, the other day at the offside. And I just got to say though, that the only time I see brain dead Ranger fan takes on anything in my Twitter timeline is when you people put them there. And I don't appreciate it. Like, I really don't need to see these people. You know what I did right after that game? I blocked the MSG betting show guy, who I didn't even know was on Twitter. Somebody put him into my timeline, and I'm like, what the fuck is this idiot doing here? And I blocked him. I don't care. I just blocked him. If he called me tomorrow, asked me, try to hire me for a job, I wouldn't get it because I blocked him. I don't want to see this guy. I don't want to see this guy. I only see this when you put it in there. I don't want to see this. Like, these people are never going to see your side of things. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can retweet them. You could dunk on them. You can go after them in the replies, but they're never going to see your side. They don't like you and they don't care and they have their thing. And I was thinking about this because, like, there's a funny line. It's a classic line. Stan Fischler would have heard this line, so it's a very old line. But there was an old comedian named Joe E. Lewis, not Jerry Lewis, Joe E. Lewis. And he had a line that said, rooting for the Yankees is like rooting for U.S. Steel. Now, U.S. Steel was obviously a big monopoly. You know, you had to buy steel. You got it from them. So it was like this ubiquitous thing that, you know, what's the point of rooting for them? They're going to win anyway. They were the big monopoly. So that's what rooting for the Yankees was like. Rooting for the Rangers isn't really like rooting for U.S. Steel. We don't have a U.S. Steel anymore. But, like, it occurred to me that rooting for the Rangers is like rooting for Hot Topic, right? Like, Hot Topic positions itself as this, like, cool, edgy thing. All the kids shop there. But in reality, it's really the most, like, corporate, capitalist, franchised thing ever. It's in every mall. And really, all they do is license other brands, whether they're bands or anime or whatever, or partner with them to sell you their shit, right? They hire the hottest girl at the local high school. They put her in black lipstick and a septum ring. And then all these kids shop there thinking that they're doing something cool and they're making a stand against their parents or their teachers or the man. Meanwhile, these are your parents, right? Like, the people selling you these shirts are your parents. They are the man. That you are not beating anybody. You're not getting one over on anybody by shopping at Hot Topic and paying $40 for a Naruto shirt. Like, it doesn't work that way. But people think that that's cool. Oh, it's cool. Nobody thinks you're cool. And so this is what rooting for the Rangers is like. People think that they're doing this cool, edgy, fun thing when really they're rooting for the big corporate company that, you know, just sucks. Like, they just suck. Yeah. I just don't know how else to put it. And so it bothers me. That's one of the reasons it bothers me. This is not like a workmanlike, everyman, blue collar team.
Yeah.
These guys, this is
blue collar blue shirts, man.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. But that are owned by, you know, one of the richest people in the entire city, right, who owns all these other things. And, you know, they got their own network.
Everybody's right, like, least favorite owner, even like every owner's least favorite owner in sports. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. That isn't lost on anyone either. I don't even think it's lost on their fans that, like, right, they know.
There are smart ones out there.
But. Yeah, exactly. They'll admit it. And you want to see, like, the Rangers play live? You better hope the Arizona Coyotes or Calgary Flames are coming to town. Like,
you hope that your Islanders fan friends will sell you their tickets, right, so you can take the train out to UBS Arena and watch it there.
Yeah. Or you better hope that you're Tom Hanks or something, right?
or Liam Neeson.
So good. It's so good that I loved last night the Islanders had Andrew Zimmer was the random celebrity in the crowd last night. So I was, it's so funny because you go, if this game was being played at MSG.
Zimmern was at UBS?
I believe so, yeah.
He was rooting for the Rangers though, right?
I don't know. My brother said he was wearing an Islander shirt. I didn't even see him, but he's like, I didn't know Andrew Zimmern's an Islander fan.
And, oh man.
Yeah.
We got to get him on Weird Islanders. Holy shit. This is new. I mean, I knew he grew up on the island. I didn't know this.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently. But, but I was thinking, like, oh, if this game was played at the Garden, first of all, we wouldn't be here because it would cost like $400 to get the seats that we were in, and we sit in the gods, so it's not like we're on the glass or anything. And then, the entire second intermission, every whistle, you'd see someone who's nominated for an Academy Award or somebody who I've never heard of who's, you know, winning Grammys now, but. That is who you're rooting for. I thought you were going to say that rooting for the Rangers is rooting for, like, Visa. Like, you know, it's just like this thing that everybody needs. But I was talking to my brother afterwards, like, the thing that drives me nuts a little bit is that the entitlement is built on nothing because they have not won Bubkis. Like, this isn't the bravado in this fan base is out of control.
Yeah.
The people sitting in our section, we were in a section that was just overrun with Ranger fans. The best moment was right before Palmieri scored the third goal. you know, this group of Ranger fans who had bought tickets late and were like bragging about it that, oh man, we just bought these seats for $30 after the first, you know, the first 6 minutes. So to get them cheap. The Islanders were already up 2-0 at that point, which is great. And so they finally settle in and they're like yelling to people 6 or 7 rows away, like, yo, red hat. We're going to get a Let's Go Ranger chant. Ready? 1, 2. And then all of a sudden you hear, because Mary scores. It was so good. So we were like, yeah, keep chanting it, please.
These people think that they're cool. They think that they're doing something edgy and different and unique and fun. And you're not. You're just not. Yeah. You're rooting for Visa. You're rooting for BMW. You're rooting for Hot Topic. Like, these are the things that you're rooting for. Just because, you know, most of the city doesn't give a shit. Let's be honest. They root for the Mets, the Yankees, the Knicks, the Jets, the Giants. The Rangers are never going to be higher than any of those teams. Even if they win a Stanley Cup, they will be higher for them for a week. And then immediately the Yankees will call somebody from Columbus and it'll be a whole, you know, that they're off the back page. Like, that's just how it works. It's not an edgy, cool thing to do. But these people have convinced themselves that it is because it's some kind of big show. I don't know.
That's the attitude that, like, all this boils up, right. And throughout an entire season, you watch them catch break after break after break after break, and it becomes too much, and it's like this. The Islander fans, we talk about it all the time that we're fighting on three fronts right now. We're fighting on a front in the capital of Canada, or the hockey capital, I should say,
right.
Toronto. We're fighting one here on Long Island, and of course we're also fighting one with the Rangers. Like, we have to fight these other wars. And I saw Arthur Staple in the intermission, and me and my brother were like, it's just such a difference between Islander and Ranger fans, because you could just look at someone and tell, because you're like, I could see that person's an Islander fan because they are wearing it on their face. Like, there's like a little bit of a 1,000-yard stare there. They're in the weeds. Like, they know the layers that you have to get to find these breaks at the Rangers. Like, you have to go looking for them at some point. Right. You're like, oh, well, this goalie, Louis Domingue, is the Rangers faced zero starting goalies in their last long playoff run, right? They placed Casey DeSmith got hurt because Tristan Jarry was hurt. And then Louis Domingue comes in. And then the next series, they face Antti Raanta and Piotr Kochetkov. Like, we know these things. We watch Alexis Lafreniere rip Marcus Pedersen's helmet off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
With 6 minutes left in game 7 of a series where they only came back from 3-1 down because Jacob Trouba elbowed Sidney Crosby viciously in the head. I know all these things. Like, I know these breaks that they caught. They don't understand, like, because these breaks, they don't even register in their head. Because it's just, they're so used to it.
Right.
It's like for us seeing like a New York taxi cab, or if you're in London, seeing a London taxi cab. It doesn't really register. You see it all the time.
Right.
But for people who aren't used to it, they're like, oh, that's cool. Like, there's a vintage New York cab, or a classic London black cab. Because these things just, they don't understand that. You're catching that break every time. You're catching that break every season, every game. You're catching these breaks. The refs are totally in on it, and they understand the deal here. That you guys got to get yours on the power play. We got to figure out a way to get this game there, and we will, trust us. And all season long, and then they have the audacity to go and complain. And it's one thing if fans do it, because every fan thinks that a league and a television network and a play-by-play caller are against their team. It's just part of the fan experience these days. But for a coach to do it in a regular season game that is completely meaningless for them, and all but certainly going to be meaningless for them, is so good. And by the way, a coach who knows both sides of this rivalry, who I'm sure had his moments when he was coaching the Islanders, was like, Jesus Christ, that team.
Oh, yeah.
And his captain of that team is on the bench with him. So,
well, somebody made the point on my Twitter timeline that this is a little bit like what Mike Milbury did in that Leafs playoff series, you know, get the tape and then showing the Brian McCabe can opener thing. And so, yeah, Laviolette's been around a long time. He knows what he's doing. That's why that acting job made me laugh when he's like, he was like Hulk Hogan trying to, like, you know, Hulk out, get hulked up or whatever. So, yeah, no, they'll never get it. Much like the same way the Leafs media will never get it. The Penguins media will never get it. The, you know, Oilers media, well, they kind of get a little bit, I guess, but you know, certain members of certain places won't ever get it. And it's just, it is funny that, you know, even they're just being here on the cusp of a President's Trophy. And again, make no mistake, we're not saying that this is a bad team. This is a good team. But even them being here is the culmination of some unbelievable breaks that nobody would ever get. Oh, we decided to tank. Here's a letter. We're going to, you know, get rid of a bunch of guys and start all over again. Oh, okay. Now we've got Artemi Panarin. He wants to come here and no place else. Great. Now we've got a first overall pick. Great. Now we got a second overall pick. Great. Whatever. Reverse that. You know, now, oh, Jacob Trouba wants to play here because his wife is, I don't know, freaking doctor or something in New York City. Great. He's coming here too. Like, this is Adam. Oh, this guy, Adam Fox, only wants to play for us and he's really good. And he's now cried his way off of two other teams to make his way here. Perfect. He's, again, these are breaks that nobody's going to get. Ain't nobody crying their way to play for the Islanders, you know? Like, it doesn't work that way. Brad Lukowich was the only one, I think, right? We talked about him. And maybe Brendan Witt was the only guy who really signed here. Like, I'm going to sign it. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
Nobody else gets these breaks. Only the Rangers get these breaks, but they will never acknowledge them. Because then they would acknowledge them not having that power, basically.
Right. And we, I think, you know, this in a weird way, this situation reminds me a little bit of the Patrick Kane thing. Where it's like, you don't need this guy. I know he only wants to play. He's like angling his way to only play for you and nobody else, but you don't need this guy. I think this move is going to blow up in your face. And any Ranger fan that is worth their salt, it would tell you that, yeah, they had that thought too. And, but they had to put on this air of bravado, like it's sick showtime in on Broadway. This is going to be sick. Of course it blows up in your face because they looked the hockey gods in the eyes. They're like, look, we already gave you Vladimir Tarasenko. He only wanted to go to the Rangers last year. We already gave you that guy. We already gave you Fox. We already gave you Trouba. We already gave you Panarin. Like, this is probably bridge too far. Like, you sure you want to do this?
Right.
You guys finished 13th, you know, from in the lottery. You were the 13th spot and you won it. You sure you want to push your luck here? Because we're, you know, if you do it, we're out of here. We're not, you know, our hands are free. Like, you've used up your 18 wishes. I know we want him anyways. Okay. Like, you're on your own now. And then this year it's like, hey, you know, you got the dubious call on Riley to change the game, completely changed in your direction. You got another call and then you got another call in a row. You got back in the game. The crowd is all on the side. It sounds like, you know, the Islander fans are in, you know, terrible form right now. Everyone's bricking it in their seats. Are you sure you want to, you know, you want to push this envelope? Because after this, like, no more. Like, we can't do it anymore. No, I'm going to call it a vicious hit. Okay. Like, that's in my head. This is how I'm trying to like come to grips with this situation. And listen, I hate the Pittsburgh Penguins so much. I hate what's going on right now with the way that they're treating, you know, Dubas and all that with this resurgence because the Washington Capitals lost 7 in a row and then the Flyers are losing every game by 6 or 7 goals to terrible teams. I get
but
that
Sidney that's Crosby of, is making his case for the Hart Trophy.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby is making his case for the Hart Trophy by the Blue Jackets beating the Flyers 6-1. I hate every bit of it, trust me. But I know that if the Islanders finish in the third place in the Metro and the Penguins get that second wild card, and I'm really trying not to thread the needle here and wish for too much, and because I'm terrified of the hockey gods. Trust me, I've watched the hockey gods do some really fucked up shit to the New York Islanders. Shit. Right, I watched Semyon Varlamov's stick break. I've never seen a goalie stick break in my life.
I watched two stick breaks on the same penalty kill against Nashville, and even Wah was like, "I've never seen that before." Like, well, welcome to the island. Like,
yeah, he's getting it. He's getting it. It's so great to see him be like, I cannot believe what this team goes through on a nightly basis that nobody realizes except for the fans. We've seen some really fucked up shit with the hockey gods. So I'm not trying to tempt them, but I know that Ranger fans are very scared of the Penguins finishing in that second wild card spot. So I'm not rooting for anything. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just saying that I've heard from a couple fans, Ranger fans, who've kind of mentioned it. So, now I'm hoping that they're going to start. This could be the situation where things finally start to turn a little bit against this team. Probably not, because it never does. Right. But, you know, that they'll I was joking with a couple people. I was like, I got home. It was like 11:30. I was like, I kind of half expecting them to call the teams back on the ice, you know, 2 hours later. Be like, guys, we just got to play this last 15 seconds with the Rangers on the power play. We're calling the penalty. We're calling the penalty on Dobson. We got the call from Dolan to Bettman. But yeah,
I completely forgot one thing, and we're almost, I think, done here, but there was one moment from that game that also encapsulates the relationship between the referees and the Rangers. And that was when there was a faceoff in the Islanders zone and the puck was dropped and Brock Nelson did not move.
Oh my God.
And whoever was at center for the Rangers won the faceoff. And everybody was like, oh, okay, we're just going to keep on playing. Yeah. Even Butch was like, oh, all right, Brendan was like, oh, we're just going to count that. And they just kept on going.
Yep.
And I was like, you got to be kidding. Like, it didn't come to anything. I was convinced they were going to score a goal there, but I was like, what are we doing here? Like,
like, if you went back and watched that game, and if you picked a random selection of 10 Ranger games this season and got a notepad and devoted yourself to a day of just watching their games and writing down every break that the Rangers get, you would just be flipping pages. And as we keep saying, like, it doesn't register because this is just, they're just so used to it by this point. And it's an entitled fan base, and seeing other people like raise that aren't and part of this rivalry on Twitter was nice. To see some of the world's worst people be like, no, like, this is a team that's winning the President's Trophy and they're complaining about this. And then the fans are calling for Matt Rempe to come and annihilate Noah Dobson and Adam Pellick. I'm like, God, thank you guys for finally, like, everyone's starting to catch on here. And, And you know, I mentioned that kind of deal with the devil with the Penguins the other day, but the other really sweet part of that would be that, of course, Sidney Crosby is an icon and a role model to you and me and everybody nobody's ever had a bad word to say about Sid. How can you not root against? How can you not root for this guy? I don't care who you root for. How can you not root for Sidney Crosby? I can fucking show you. But another silver lining with that would be that everybody would be rooting for Sidney Crosby against the Rangers. Like, wouldn't this be great if he could will them to a series win? And it would be fucking terrible for us, of course. But these thoughts are starting to percolate in my mind only because of what happened after the game in the hallway of UBS Arena with the Rangers step and repeat behind Peter Laviolette and Larry Brooks with his arm out and the other people from the post and everywhere being like, you know, I really wonder like what they expected him to say. We got to ask the question. I think the question was basically, is Mika okay?
Right.
And nobody was like, hey, like, what did you think of the hit?
And then he started seething and they were like, wow, you're really, and then Emily Kaplan of ESPN was like, so you're saying it was intentional? And he's like, yes, vicious, you know? So
it's so good. And one thing that me and my brother were talking about too is there's one person in the NHL that we know that Barry Trotz doesn't like. One person. And it's Peter Laviolette.
Right. Oh my God.
And now you start to see, I wonder why this guy's got such a short shelf life at different organizations now. And
wow.
You know, it's crazy to say, man, because that 2001-2002 team, I love them. Like, I love them so much. But I'm perfectly okay with looking right past the person behind that bench these days and just being like, I'm going to focus all my attention on Yashin and Kip Miller and Osgood and Bates and go from there, because this is this guy is really doing a number. But you know, I'm so thankful that we got Patrick Waugh, because who better to be on the Islander side of this thing than that guy? Like, oh, you're gonna try to get into a war of words with Patrick Waugh, but be my guest. He might fight Matt Rempe himself.
That's something I would. We know he can fight. We've seen it. I totally forgot about that Trotz Laviolette thing.
Yep.
Oh my God. You're right. You're right. And once again, Barry's right. He's always right. There you go. Well, I hope that we feel better. I know that for a fact. I know we've been sitting on these thoughts now all day. So it felt good to get them out. We hope we've made you feel a little bit better. If you were tired of this subject and didn't want to listen to this and aren't listening to this now, trust me, I totally understand. But if anything, we hope we've made the time before the Islanders game against the Canadians. Don't forget that. Very important. Do not forget. I'm actually kind of worried because the Islanders, you know, Rangers hangover used to be a really, very real thing for the Islanders. So hopefully those days are over.
Yeah, but, it's true.
They need to get those points from the Canadians. And listen, the Canadians did the Islanders a favor. They absolutely manhandled the Flyers the other night, 9-3, while the Islanders Rangers game was going on. So now it's time for the Islanders to do their thing and beat the Canadians for the first time this season. I mean, come on, guys, this isn't 1976. Like, you can beat the Canadians. I don't know why we're always treating this team like Guy Lafleur and Steve Shutt are still on it, but let's not do that again. If anything, hopefully you've enjoyed this, and we'll be back on Sunday after the Canadians game and the next Rangers game. So if anything, we won't double up now on Rangers. We'll see how that game goes. We'll see, but this one definitely was an eventful one. It was a funny one in a lot of cases, and it's still almost a miracle to me that the Islanders actually hung on to win that game.
The miracle at Belmont. ESPN documentary coming soon.
Right.
The Islanders held on to a third period lead.
Yeah. My wife was like, "You don't want to finish watching the game?" And I was like, "No." And I went off, and I'm like, "They do this all the time. They blow these leads. They called it a miracle at the Meadowlands, or the miracle on turf, or whatever. They've done it 18 times. They've done it 22. Yeah. It's going to be 23 now." Turned out to not be 23.
These are the layers, right? These are the different. This is the difference. Right. You are in these layers. They have no idea.
Right.
About them. And it's, yeah, it's,
yeah,
it was terrible. I could tell you, like, the payoff was great because of the Laviolette situation, but that third period was absolute torture. Yeah. I had to watch another cross ice pass setting up a Rangers one timer with like six different Islanders, like including Varlamov, going from side to side looking at a block. And I will say, before I know we're going long, but I will give the Islanders a little bit of credit for gutting that one out and like putting themselves in front of every puck that they could. But other than that, torture.
That's true. But the only guy who really had anything to say after that game should have been Semyon Varlamov. Like, he's really it. He's the only guy who has anything to say. Hey, man, how was that? Oh, good. You know, or I guess Patrick Waugh saying, yeah, he was on it. He was very good.
Love the way he says Varley.
Yeah. Varley.
Varley.
Yeah. So, but so hopefully, you know, we've either made you madder or made you feel better. One or the other. But either way, Canadians Thursday night. So I won't be watching. Actually, it's my daughter's school play, so I'll be busy. But we'll see what happens.
Right, you'll read all about it from in two different languages from 18 different reporters. From
that's true.
Quebec is going to be great. I can't wait. True. I can't wait to see what they've got up their sleeve.
Hopefully, we get an angry post game thing from Marty San Luis too. That'll be a cherry on top as well. In the meantime, don't forget to sign up at patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety for ad-free episodes and bonus content. We are also on YouTube now. I know, it's a big deal. The kids all love the YouTube. Find us on YouTube. We are at youtube.com/@IslandersAnxiety. If you want to do us a favor that costs you $0 and takes literally 10 seconds, the next time you are on YouTube, and God knows we are all on it for various reasons all day long, search up Islanders Anxiety, click subscribe. That's all you got to do. You don't have to watch us or listen to us on YouTube, but that would really be helpful if you gave us a subscription there. And you can listen to us on YouTube Music, because apparently Google Podcasts is dead. So sorry, RIP whoever, the Google Podcast for whoever listened to us there, but now you can find us on YouTube Music. So there you go. Follow us on @IslesAnxietyPod on Twitter. Leave us a review at Apple Podcasts and at Spotify. Our theme song, which you're going to hear at the end here, is Morning Haze by Family Dinner. Listen to more of their music at Bandcamp and Spotify. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day. Islanders Anxiety Podcast are part of the Fans First Sports Network. Find more at fansfirstsports.com. Shop vintageicehockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. Mike, do you have any final thoughts on that crazy game from Tuesday?
No, I mean, it's definitely one that I'm sure we'll revisit in years past and years to come. And hopefully, as long as, you know, the nightmare situation doesn't happen. And I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for what happened after it was, like I said, Bruce Cassidy. And the last thing you want to do is give an Islander fan base any more spite. Like, our plate is full of spite. It's so full of spite. We still would boo Christian Ehrhoff if he played hockey, right? Like, we would still boo that man. Yep. So we don't need any more spite, but we'll take it. So thank you, Peter.
Yep.
And hopefully, by the way, I just also want to say, like, you know, to Adam Pellick, man, you know better. Hopefully you get what's coming to you. Your comeuppance, because that was vicious, and he's an absolute thug. The man who's had four concussions from dirty hits and such, you always hear after plays like that, defending, well, he's not a dirty player. Well, we know Adam Pellick. He's a vicious, dirty, dirty player, and there's no excuse for what he did to Mika Zibanejad on Tuesday night on Long Island, April the 9th. in a date that will go down in infamy.
Just like Thomas Hickey before him. Vicious goon Thomas Hickey. To ask Capitals fans about that. But yeah, well said. So, all right. Well, we'll see what happens on Saturday. Again, it's going to be mutant time with Matt Rempe out there, I'm sure. But eventually a hockey game will break out. And if the Islanders can win that game and win Thursday, they will do themselves a big favor and make getting to the playoffs a little bit easier for them. Okay. Thanks a lot for listening. And we will talk to you again very shortly. All right. Take care. We'll be right back.